Thanks for tuning in once again to Organic Matters. Glad you find me every week. At least I know a lot of you do. We get a fair number of emails and lots of comments. So it's thank you. I want to start this morning, how to use neem oil on plants. It's good all around pest control, but it does have its limits and it does have its things you have to be cautious of. To begin with, before I even start, it is harmful to bees, for instance. So you need to be careful when and where you use it. But we'll go through all that because it is a really, really effective natural product that has lots of uses in your garden. So to begin with, let's tell you what neem is. Neem is actually derived from the bark, leaves, and the fruit of a common Asian evergreen tree. Neem or neem oil contains the active ingredients called azadirachtin, as well as several other natural steroids. When applied to insects and the plants they are eating, neem oil causes many different insects to feed less, grow more slowly, molt less, and lose interest in laying eggs. It just either slows them down and in some cases actually eliminates them. And as you might imagine, like in a lot of the pesticides, neem's effects are strongest on young insects, particularly the little guys that grow pretty rapidly, the squash bugs you have to deal with, potato beetles, Mexican bean beetles. Neem can also provide good control of aphids and a lot of the other small leaf-eating caterpillars that show up. And it probably goes without saying of another products that we use. Neem is best used preventatively before the pests become a problem. Get ahead of the game. For example, if your garden is always plagued by squash bugs, begin spraying plants with neem about every 7 to 10 days as soon as you see the very first adults show up at your garden. Egg laying and overall vigor of that animal will be reduced, but you will still need to hand-pick adults to remove the egg clusters regularly if you really want to be a good organic gardener. Employ the same strategy when using neem oil to manage leaf-eating beetles. Spraying weekly when the first adults and eggs clusters are seen is best. Neem is also best applied in good warm weather. Works better in warm weather, makes sense. And since it's truly oil-based, shake neem products well before using them. Use lukewarm water also helps to make the mix, or I sit it out in the sun a little bit if you've got time. Thoroughly wet both sides of the leaves as well as places where the insects may be hiding around and in the garden. And remember, if honeybees are expected to visit the plants, exclude them with an old sheet or a piece of row cover for afternoon or overnight, if you spray in the evenings, just to give it a chance to settle, then it won't hurt them. And as with a lot of other all-natural products, it's easier, it's much better to mix only as much concentrate as you will need. If you don't use it in a few days, though, interesting, you can dispose of it, especially if you have grapes or cucumbers or something, they might have a chance that it'll get powdery mildew, for instance. And neem is effective against that, so it doesn't totally go to waste. It just loses its power over a few days. So mix it in smaller amounts and mix it regularly. Store neem products in their original containers. I always put them up out of the way with my grandkids and the pets, whatever. A dark place is better. And interestingly, you'd think the cooler, the better you keep it. Actually, keeps better if you don't get it below 40 degrees. So keep it at in a house or in a garage or somewhere where the temperatures are pretty normal. Kept properly is probably good for at least 2 years. Now we spent a little time on neem. I should go back and tell you that's not necessarily my first go-to, but it is always in my arsenal because it is natural, it is available, and when used properly, does a pretty good job. But let's talk about really doing what I would call an organic, or let's use the word all-natural, sustainable garden. Even though the name of my show is Organic Matters, I occasionally run into people who have the problem with the word organic. They take it organically, and that's very different from saying organic gardening. So I'm going to start using the word sustainable a lot more, and let's call it gardening with nature. To begin with, as a rule, I don't even spray for pests. I don't use anything, not even garlic or cayenne or DE or anything until I see I might need it. Why, you might ask? Well, because I really don't want to discourage the good guys around, the helper species, the ladybugs, toads, frogs, wasps. Never realized how beneficial wasps are in your garden area. Just don't want them in your house. I have lizards here every day. Lacewings come in. Predatory beetles are very common if you don't wipe them out with a pesticide. The parasitic wasps handle a bunch of our pests, but we don't even know they're doing it. I even don't mind having my snakes around. They do a heck of a good job if you know what snakes are supposed to be here and that aren't dangerous, of course. And with all my efforts, sometimes things just hit. I'll call them plagues. But sometimes rather than fight that battle, I harvest, especially if everything's pretty much ready. I've got enough of a harvest. I just go ahead and harvest it, clean up the setting, and go to the next set of crops. I'm always growing something. And another approach some people don't understand. I leave a lot of weeds around. Weeds, sure. I don't let them starve out my plants or drop their amazing amounts of seeds in my nice little clean beds. But I do let them grow all around the edges of my garden and my yard. They are wild patches everywhere of lots and lots of mostly beneficial insects to live. This means that for every pest, there's always at least one predator available. That's just the way Mother Nature works. I also get the benefits of seeing lots of butterflies and bees and interesting moths and beetles. And in my case, again, I happen to be in some pretty open property out in the country. Lizards are one of my favorite pastimes. I watch lizards sometimes like most people go bird watching. Another thing gardeners come in and see and are kind of amazed, I plant a lot of plants together, sometimes in rows, but not very often. But a lot of my plants, I just put a ton of variety in a small space. I'm sitting right here looking outside I live in an RV for the summer here. And I'm looking at my gardens in the back. And in one container, I have dill, flatleaf parsley, basil, thyme, all just intermixed. I go in and pull what I want for the herbs I need. Back when I was even gardening a lot, I've traveled for the last few years, so I'm just getting back to having a place I can even plant anything. But my beds in the spring might have cabbages, peas, tomatoes, collards, mustards when it's time, beans, my basil I love, and other they're just different species, all sharing the same real estate, the same place. When you think about the way nature works, let's say you're a sphinx moth, and you want to put your little hornworm babies where they can feast like kings. Well, my beds just aren't the best place for that. It's too intermixed, and there's not enough of any single thing that really is the best place for them to try to decide and reproduce. They'll go somewhere else. Pests will actually build up according to the quantity and availability of the food source, depending on what kind of pest it is. For instance, if your tomatoes aren't all next to each other, it's harder for pests to jump along, eat one of them, then have to hunt for another. Many of your garden enemies only eat maybe one type of plant. So you put a crucifer next to a nightshade, next to a legume, next to an herb, and it's almost like a hard woods for them to get through. It's not an easy place for them to actually thrive. And it should go without saying, a lot of people don't think this way. I really feed my soil and my plants like crazy. Healthy plants just don't attract pests like unhealthy plants. Sometimes they'll totally outgrow a problem. I believe in Mother Nature, pests really are our cleanup crew. They're the cleanup machines that ensure strong genes and are passed on to the next generation. They don't eat the strong. They eat the weak. They clean up. They're nature's cleanup method. And so they're pests in one way, but in other ways, they're actually a control that's ensuring better genes and better plants within your garden. Think of it this way. Having a lot of life around overall is a good thing. A healthy garden shouldn't be a sterile place. It's a web of life. We're just there to kind of tend things for a bit as we kind of pass on, and our payoff is the food we get. Some plants won't work well for you, but most of the time, you'll find the ones that will. Some years, you may lose something that you usually can grow. Our experimentation has taught me with 50 years, I guess, of messing in the garden, the easy way out, I call it the scorched earth, isn't usually necessary for any reason. Just one more thought for this part of the show. My area around me, I actually live in the country, is becoming a food forest very slowly. Not everything's food now. I have plants that bloom, and I have weeds that are actually, in this case, we have a beautiful flower here that has to be a nitrogen-fixing plant. I have actually brush piles around, again, back to my reptiles and my amphibians that I like. Y'all gonna love this for our farmer and rancher. They come crazy. I have a couple of coons I feed at night if I have any extra food. They come and check every evening. They don't bother any. I'm smarter than the coon. I set my garden up so they don't ruin it. Wasn't a big deal. I have logs laying around that all kinds of insects and bugs can live in. It, to me, is kind of a beautiful, almost my own area I live around is like a little discovery area. I get up in the morning with a cup of coffee and go walking a little bit, and I almost invariably find something interesting. I should say this just because I have a neighbor that reminds me of this. This way of growing is a far cry from the heavily sprayed orchards, pecan orchards, and even fruit orchards if you got it, and the perfect rows of Roundup Ready corn that grow in this part of the country part of the year. A much different approach to Mother Nature. And I'll confess, where I especially was living when I had gardens for a long time, my fruit sometimes had a few spots on it. My leaves occasionally had little bug bites here and there. But they're fresh, they're healthy, and more important to me, organic. That word I told you I wouldn't use, but it fits here. And they thrive despite being untouched by the wonders of what I call modern science, which I question. Would you rather wipe out the many checks and balances in your garden or have to do all the spraying, weeding, bug picking, worrying, and squishing every day? I'll take the latter and revel in a little bit of what I call a little Garden of Eden in my little area that I call what would be called my garden area by most people. Although I have to admit, I have gardeners come. I am a master gardener, for whatever y'all know. I've been one for 20 years already, so I've gone through all those classes too. But I've always leaned towards all natural, all sustainable, work with Mother Nature, not against her. I've even taught some classes at the newer Master Gardening Club's meetings. When I went 20-some years ago, there was little said, believe it or not, about organic gardening. I had to bring it up, and when I did, I even had the guy was actually running the show where I got my master's, was a graduate of A&M in Texas, and pretty much a staunch chemical man. And it took years. He just passed away a few years ago. We remained friendship. It's okay. You can have a friend that doesn't understand. That's a joke. But he came a long way. In the end, he was big on compost. He was big on all-natural methods first. He learned about Bacillus thuringiensis, BT, that's a natural to get rid of caterpillars instead of poisoning them with something. He came a long way. Take 20 years, and he was already in his 60s, I guess, when he was teaching me, because he died and he was about 80 or 81. And he did come my way, but it was hard. So I've been doing this show 20-some years. If I get a convert or two a week, I feel like I've accomplished something. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic Matters. I'll be back after this break with, I don't know what I'm going to do in the next part of the show yet, but stick around. I hope you'll enjoy.